also a beautiful site that you're not only interested in. Anyantiv. I don't know, the Stam of the Olam is aware that the Rosh Hashiva that I learned by in Eretz Yisrael also is Rabbi Kaufman's Rosh Hashiva. Rabbi Kaufman also learned in the same yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. And he was a Bachar when he was a younger man. He was a younger man, I think. And he also learned from him, also his Rosh Hashiva. So this Ben Azmanim, first time in a while, this Ben Azmanim, when Rosh Hashiva comes into America for Pesach every year, and I go to him as often as I can whenever he speaks, I go to continue learning by him. And I went into Shal Shudas by him, and I saw Rabbi Kaufman there twice, sitting by the table. And Rabbi Kaufman is a success in America. He's a well-known success in America. He has a yeshiva, he has 160 bachrim, he has a kail, he's building a community, he's a king. He's a king. And I saw Rabbi Kaufman. How often does he speak a year? How many times? 100, 200, 300 times a year, right? Doesn't prepare his speeches anymore, I don't think. I mean, once in a while. I know last year I was with him by a bris, and he started speaking. He said, it says that we say by a bris, Hashem Shenichnas a bris, Ken Yikonis, the Tayre Lechobel Maisim Taivim. And he started to speak, and he told me that as he was saying the words Tayre Lechobel Maisim Taivim, he was still preparing what he's going to say about Tayre Lechobel Maisim Taivim. Yeah, because they asked him to speak on the spot. So it was an interesting sight for me. It was a good musar to see him sitting there by my Rosh Hashiva, sitting by the table. He had the front seat, but he still, as far as he was sitting there, Talmid Hayeshev Ufnei Rabbi. You couldn't tell he was a Rosh Hashiva. You couldn't tell he knew anything. He was sitting there concentrating on every single word. It was just, it was a beautiful thing to see. Maybe the other people in the room didn't know that he's the king of Waterbury. Maybe they didn't know that. But for me, it was an interesting thing to see. A Rebbe comes back into town, you have time, you're able to work it out, to go and to sit b'hachna. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how much you learn, it doesn't matter how many talmidim you have, it doesn't matter how much you have to teach. If your Rebbe's around, you keep learning. You keep learning. It's a guy with the thing, oh, that's it, now I'm ready to teach. I think I mentioned once that I had this struggle myself, and Baruch Hashem, I think I made the right decision that I, the year before we started yeshiva here, I was in a kohel in Flatbush, and the Rosh Kohel called me and told me that he can't speak Shal Shudas in the shul. And they used to have like 50, 60 people used to come for Shal Shudas. Can I speak with Shal Shudas? And I said yes. So I was thinking about what I'm going to say with Shal Shudas. I was going to speak in the shul with Shal Shudas. And then someone called me and told me that my Rosh Hashiva was in town. He speaks Shal Shudas. So I had this struggle. Should I go and speak in front of 60 people? That's nice. Or should I go and learn? And it was a little bit of a soul searching for me, and I decided that when a person is young enough that his rabbeim are alive and they're still teaching, and he's also still has what to learn. He still has what left to learn. You know, Mirat Hashem, one day I'll get old, and maybe I won't have I won't have older people that taught me through the years. There's always people to learn from. Maybe I won't have that, and then I won't have a brera. I won't have this choice. But Kolzman, I'm young. Kolzman, I'm young, and I still have the ability to learn. If I have to choose between teaching and learning, you choose learning. Don't run away so fast to say your own shir. Don't run away so fast to say your own Torah. You're sitting by a Rebbe for as long as the day will come. Don't worry, the day will come, and you'll feel like it was too fast when the day comes. It's kedai. It's a terrible, terrible illness. It's something that I'm going to talk about the illness of it, but I also, at the same time, I want to say the praise that this yeshiva and the whole atmosphere of this community is, in comparison to the rest of the world, in a tremendous, tremendous, tremendous mile in this area. There's a tremendous anivus over here. We live in a yeshiva. It's a schus. It's a big schus. We live in a yeshiva with tremendous anivus. You don't find by the people that are part of any yeshiva, there's different bakram. Some bakram are the neshama of the yeshiva. Some are the heart of the yeshiva, some of the brain of the yeshiva, and some are like the chitzonius of the yeshiva, some are like the fingernails of the yeshiva. There's different levels in the involvement of Bachram and yeshiva. By the heart and the mind of the yeshiva, you don't find Bachram who feel like, okay, I learned enough. Like, I'm not interested anymore. There's such a thing as going on to higher things, there's such a thing as steiging, and avada, 100%. But the idea of that someone can get up to speak on one side of the base medrash, and I already learned enough. He doesn't have anything more to teach me. That we don't find over here. There's a tremendous, tremendous kavod for chaverim. Tremendous kavod for chaverim. If a bacher gives a chabura, he has a full house. tremendous kavod for chaverim, tremendous kavod for you in the light, a tremendous kavod for rabbeim. It's a thing. We have to point out the tainus in ourselves. We also have to point out when we do what the Mesillas Yesharim says. I don't believe that we have over here as much as in other places that kimacha nevkechu einayim kvar chachmei achachamim shavim lahem believer. As soon as they start getting a little bit of a mahalacha learning, they're ready to feel they're the biggest chachamim. I think that the Olam over here has a very strong tfisa about what it means to be just nifkechu einayim and what it means to be chachmei achachamim. It's a constant process, and it's a beautiful process. The Talmidim try to learn from their Rabbeim, and the Rabbeim try to learn from their Rabbeim, and their Rabbeim are still trying to learn from their Rabbeim. And I know for a fact that my Rebbe sits and tries to, his Rebbe's not alive anymore, but he still tries to harv over the things that he wrote and that he taught, or still Ketalmid a Yoshev Lefnei Rabbi. And he's still noticing new things and realizing new things. That's Anivus. Anivus is a tremendous conduit to Torah. There's no, the Gemara says, we learned the Gemara in Kedusha in the second parak. There's no Torah with this guy, though. There's no Torah, right? Aniyim b'divrei Torah. There's no Torah with this guy, though. No such a thing. Anivus, to listen to what someone else has to say, to think about it, to think, maybe I'm wrong. And for it not to bother me so much to say that I'm wrong. Not to keep track. Well, he was already right twice. I better not be wrong this time. Not to keep track. That's Anivus. It's a terrible thing. I had this experience with younger people and older people. It's a terrible, terrible thing. It's a purity that we have, that we have to make sure stays, no matter how great we become in learning, to keep this type of purity. That there are places in the world, and I'm only speaking this out so that we shouldn't become that way. There are places in the world that the Bachram and the Yeshiva consider themselves to be Gansa Balabatim on the Yeshiva. And they sit and down. And I've had the agony of listening to conversations of Bachram being down. Which Rosh Hashiva is on a higher Madrega? Which Rosh Hashiva knows how to learn better? This one or that one? Who knows how to give a good shiur? Who knows how to learn? This one really doesn't know. So, and they say he's a Shasid and he's really not. And he's maybe he's a Bucky, but he's not this one. This one is a big Bucky, but he's not such a Lamdan. This one, maybe he's a Lamdan, but he never got to Daf Yud and Masechta. And so this type of a talk it's a disease. It's a disease. It's a disease. And who are you? And how many blot did you learn? And how many mesechtas did you finish? It's a disease. I had a terrible experience. A couple of Pesachs ago. So in Chaim Berlin, the Rosh Yeshiva switched off nights in Chol HaMoed speaking in Yeshiva. So it was exactly like this year, that it was Shabbos Chol HaMoed, and the Rosh Yeshiva was going to speak on Matzah Shabbos. Starts very, very late. Until Shabbos is over and Pesach is very late. And it starts a few hours after. So it was about 11:30, quarter to 12. We were waiting for it to start. Waiting for the evening to begin. So I was sitting there, and a Chashav Yid walked in. Chashav Yid came in, and I don't know if he is a Chashav Yid or not. I didn't have a very good experience with him. And I went over to Shalom Aleichem because I have some connection with him. I knew him a little bit, so he knows someone in my family. And he said, oh, you're coming to Rabbi Yonasan? I said, yeah, I'm coming to him. He said, oh, yeah, he heard Mamash Kabbalah, the good things about him. Then he tells me, did you learn by him? So I said, yeah. So he says, tell me, you can learn him. He knows how to learn. And the let me just explain to you, the underlying feeling is, it's very nice he knows how to give a drasha. Does he know how to learn? That was the underlying meaning of the question. And I was shocked, my jaw dropped open, I was shocked. What is that supposed to mean? You ask a young schnook, walks into a yeshiva, to hear a shmooze from someone, and you go over and you say, you learned by him, and you say, does he know how to learn? I'm the one to paskin if he knows how to learn? Is that an appropriate question? Is that appropriate to say, you learn by so-and-so? Does he know how to learn? Is that appropriate? And I couldn't hold myself back. I was like, Oyla b'chutzpah. I was a tremendous chutzpahdik that night, and I'm not misguided. I think it was the right thing. I said it softly, but I said very chutzpahdik words. I said to him, he was much taller than me, and he had a much longer beard than me, and a much grayer beard than me. And I said, Mifrek the Talmud, or is that Rebbe can learn? And he asked a Talmud if his Rebbe could learn. And like the conversation just ended, and he walked away. I couldn't be silent. What is that supposed to mean? You're coming to be machniya yourself to somebody. You're coming to be makabel. Someone said, you can learn. Well, let me tell you. I think in chulin he's a little weak, but that's the yachas between the Talmud and the Rebbe. That's what it means. In doyim lecha kamalach Hashem tzavakais, then yivakish Torah mipiyu. That's the Gemara says that if he's doyim like kamalach Hashem, then you should be mivakish Torah. There's no such a thing. We don't discuss these things. We're not follow bottom on it. We don't harass our rabbi, and we don't. It's not a This yeshiva is bad in this, and this yeshiva is good in this. It's besides lashon hara and rechilas and mighty shemer and sheker and dan shalai lekaps chus and a long list of yisurim that come before that. It's such gaiva to sit and to just be down on the whole world. A bezdin, kama bate dita, just down on the world. Where does it come from, such a gaiva? It comes from nifkechu einayim, kimacha nifkechu einayim. You know, they know how to learn a little bit. They heard a few shiurim. They've been around a little bit. That's it. It's like a paskin on the world. And all of this, it says, it's mias to Hashem. Imagine, it's mias to Hashem. Imagine vomiting in front of a king. Imagine how embarrassing it would be. It's quickly trying to clean it up. Imagine how embarrassing it would be. This type of guy, there's mias, tayav as Hashem. It's a tayeva to Hashem. Kol gevalev. Umikulam tzarech sheinoke haroitze b'midas hanikiyus. And from all these things, someone who wants the midah of nikiyus has to cleanse himself. V'yeida v'yoven. And he should know and understand ki ein hagaiva ella ivoroin mamish. Gaiva is blindness. Someone who's about gaiva is a blind person. The seichel of a person doesn't see his chisorin, and it's not makir the lowliness. Everybody has milus, and everybody has chisorinus. Someone who's a balgaiva, he doesn't have the balance right. Yeah, you're smarter than everybody else, but do you daven like everybody else? Are you the balmidus of everybody else? Do you have the edelkeit, the tmimistikeit of everybody else? You know, and so on and so forth. If only he was able to see and would recognize the truth, he would turn away and distance himself from these bad drachim, these messed up mekulkaldik drachim, and he would distance himself very, very much. Tremendous things, Amir Tashem. When we get to Anova, tremendous things that Mesil Tishorim says about what a person should tell himself and how a person should realize his proper place. Because true anav is such a difficult avoda, it's one of the last rungs in the sulam of Rav Pinchas ben Yair is the madrega of anava. It's not an easy midah. Okay, I promised that I would give some halacha lemaisa about gaiva. There's a very, very big problem. We talked about it in the beginning. There's a few very, very big problems with trying to work on gaiva. The first thing is that many of us are bala gaiva not because we think we're tremendous, but because we think we're nothing. Many people become bala gaiva to cover up a tremendous inferiority and tremendous feelings of they feel so empty, such a black hole. They've been so criticized or so disappointed in themselves that they have to build up their gaiva as a way to survive. Someone just shoots down the gaiva, then you're left with the churban of a person. It's not the right approach. Secondly, gaiva at certain stages in a person's life is a tremendous motivating factor. Tremendously motivating factor. Someone finishes a mesechta, someone gets covered for something, someone gets covered in a yeshiva, masmidim and lamdanim and balimidas get covered be'etzim, because the yeshiva is a place that values truly valuable things. So someone who's a masmid gets covered for his asmada. It's a metzias in a yeshiva. That's a motivating factor. That's what helps the masmid wake up at 7 o'clock the next morning. That's what helps him not miss davening, because he's known as the guy that doesn't miss davening. It's a very, very strong motivating factor. And because of that, Rav Volber writes in the second Chelek of Alei Shor that it's not the first midah that Bacham should work on. Gaiva is not the first thing to work on. So, but there are things that we could work on within Gaiva. One of them is something we were talking about after Seder yesterday, is the ability to laugh at ourselves. And this, if a person doesn't have this, he's the only one that takes himself seriously in the end. He's the only one. The ability to laugh at ourselves, the ability to realize when gaiva is at the root of something. So we'll be let's say by a dinner or by a seum, we'll use the mishnah we said yesterday. We'll be by a gathering, by a sheva brachas, and someone will get off to be mishabeach the chassan or the messiah or the honoree, and it feels good. Feels good. Someone in public, someone to get up and say, I know he doesn't want to hear this, but he's mamish a gevaldig person. That first part also feels good, like we learned yesterday. The whole package feels good. It feels good, and he's taimach meistis, or he's masmid, and all the stories. And I know he doesn't want me to say this story, but this gevaldig story about him, that gevaldig story about him, feels good. And of course, our job is to say, no, I taka don't want you to say the story, and loving every minute of it. The first step is not to run away from it, because it could be a very motivating thing. And the first step is not to tell ourselves, what do you mean, I'm a nothing, I'm horrible. That's a very destructive thing. The first step is to know how to laugh. Ha, wow, look what I enjoy. Look at this, look at me. Look at that, I enjoy, someone gets up and talks about me. Like, let's talk about the dinner first is a particularly interesting thing. Most of the time someone, excuse, I hope I don't offend anybody, but most of the time someone gets honored by a dinner because he's very, very wealthy. And wealth is not one of the things that it says in Hilchos Yerushalmi, it's something of value at all. It's nothing. Some people are tall and some people are short. Some people are poor and some people are rich. It's not something that doesn't say in anywhere that, you know, that doesn't say anywhere that a person should try to be rich, you know. To the extent that we're misfile one time and all of our tefillahs one time, we say Chaim Shal Aisha V'Chavod, they're ready, people ask, what does that mean? What are we asking for Aisha for? Why would we do that? It's not. So the guy gets honored, and he deserves honor because he's bringing money to a yeshiva. He deserves kavod, 100%. He deserves kavod. But what's the guy thinking? Why are they honoring him? Why are they saying his praises? Why? Why are they singing his praises? For what reason? So he should give more money to the yeshiva. That's the reason. It's lishma in a sense. But really, if he was a poor guy, would they say, and I'd like to honor this guy who makes $10,000 a year? I would like to just say that he's mamash a gevaldig person. Would they do that? There's no such a thing. No such a thing. So the reason why he was picked out from the crowd is not even because of his big milah. Not even because of his big milah. The same thing is true with finishing masechtas and all these things also, even though they are tremendous milahs. Even though they are tremendous milahs, but like, what is it already? Why does it make me feel so good? What is it? What's the, you know, it's just something pleasure to laugh at, how much it affects me, how much I'm hanging on every word the person says about me. It's something to, the person could laugh at himself. It's an important thing. It's an important thing just to be able to realize, to smile, to realize that the praise is geschmack, and to realize that at least that much anava we should have, to be humble enough to realize that we love gaiva. That much anava. To be humble enough to realize, you know, it goes a long way when someone gets up and speaks about me. It really goes a long way. Someone, let's say, I'll give you a mashal, but this comes up, mamash l'maisa. I'll give you a mashal. Not when there's one messiah, it comes up gevaldig, when there's two messiahim at the same seum. And people get up to speak. And both of them, and excuse me for revealing what goes on in people's hearts, but both of them are measuring how many of the speakers that got up speak about them, and how many speak about the other messiah, and if it's the same level of praise. That's both, usually by the average person, that's what's going on. Are they saying the same thing? Or by a dinner, or by this. You know, and I'd like to thank, and the other one says, I'd like to thank very much. One second, why did he say very much by him? He didn't say very much by me. Or Reuven is mamish, a masmid like in pre-war Europe. And Shimon is a tremendous masmid. Hey, how come he didn't say I'm a big masmid like in pre-war Europe? One second. Even the listeners, that's right. Even the listeners are being done. And not only those two, but every single person there is thinking about how much he would love that he would be the person that they would talk about, and it's going off into fantasies about what they would say about him. If he was the one, or if he was the chassid, or if he was the honoree. That's the teva of people. That's the teva of people. L'chol ha'pachas, someone sitting there, and they're speaking about his friend, and it's eating away at him. Take a deep breath, smile, and say, no, I'm about gaiva. Kavod means something to me. At least to be able to smile about it, instead of just getting tense about it. At least that much. It's an important thing. This story, two people over the last 2 days told me this story about Rabbi Yaakov by Yosef, you told it to me? What? It's all up to them. So Yosef is the source of the story. I'd like to thank you. No. two people told me the story about Rabbi Yaakov over the last 2 days, and it's a great story. It's a great, great story. That Rabbi Yaakov was by a chasana, and they were going around, and they were asking each. And it was by the Rabbanim's table. So the guy's saying chicken or meat, chicken or meat, chicken or meat by each one. So all the Rabbanim were saying chicken, 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 chicken. And it came up to Rabbi Yaakov, and he said meat. So they asked him, why do you say meat? And he said, I had this steer in my heart between Gaiva and Taiva, and Taiva won. That's what he answered. Probably wasn't Gaiva or Taiva. It's between me and you. But what? The Gaiva is, I'll explain to you the Gaiva. Aaron is such a tamim, he doesn't even understand the Gaiva. The Gaiva is that meat is like an achila gasadika thing, and chicken is like for poor people. It's like, so like if you're a Rosh Hashiva, you don't say, I'd like meat, please. You know, you don't do that. You say, oh, a chicken. You know, we were laughing about it. Yes, 2 days ago, we were laughing about it. And nowadays, you know, like on the Rabbanim's table, the young Rabbanim especially, you know, I don't mean anyone in particular, I mean myself. They'll be like, you want chicken or meat? They'll be like, whatever you want. And the waiter, like, doesn't understand what you're saying. He's like, Rabbi, do you want chicken or meat? And this guy's like, he's too much of a pirate to even say a decision if he wants chicken or meat. Never mind that he has the fattest barbecue grill at home. You know, but by the chasa, he can't say like, he'll say like, whatever you want. Do you want chicken or meat? Just give me what you're giving everyone else. What most people want, you know. He doesn't want to say it, you know. You know, but if his kids go near his steak on the grill at home, you know, they suffer for days, you know. That type of a thing. That's Gaiva. That's Gaiva. It's kedai to laugh about it. Just to have a good sense of humor about Gaiva. Because if you don't have a good sense of humor about it, it hurts too much. Pasha pain. We should laugh about it. It doesn't really matter. Nobody. My Sheva Brachas was about 8.5 years ago. My Sheva Brachas. I'm telling you honestly, 1,000%. The only thing I remember from the speeches are the people who said bad things about me. I don't remember any of the good things. I remember the late sonnets. That, you know, especially the good late sonnets. That I remember. But the praises that they say by Sheva Brachas, it's not. That's Aleph. Aleph or Beis.